The reading this morning is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, and then 6 to 9. If you want to follow in the Bibles in the church, that's found on page 140. It's headed, Moses Commands Obedience. So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to observe, so that you may live to enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. You must neither add anything to what I command, nor to take anything away from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord your God, with which I am charging you. You must observe them diligently, for this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples, who, when they hear all the statutes, they will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and discerning people, for what other great nation has a God so near to it as the Lord our God, whenever we call to him? And what other great nation has statutes and ordinances as just as this entire law that I am setting before you today? But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children." This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Verses from Mark chapter 7. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat until they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. In our gospel reading today, Jesus is encountering a group of people who are full. They've got full cups. And you've heard of the expression, "My cup runneth over." Well, these are people, the group of Pharisees, who've got very full cups. Yet these are cups that are going to need to be emptied if they're ever going to understand Jesus' message. In our reading today, Jesus is in Galilee. Some of the Pharisees and the scribes have made the trip down to Galilee from Jerusalem because they've heard of Jesus. The writer of that gospel has already told us in chapter 3 about the conspiracy that the Pharisees have put together in order to do away with Jesus. But, of course, it's going to be in Jerusalem that that happens and not in Galilee. So it seems quite ominous that these Pharisees have come all the way to Galilee from Jerusalem to hear the words of Jesus, who they're already plotting against. So what is it that they say to him? Are they looking for some kind of teaching that's going to help them to lead a better life? Are they looking for words of encouragement or hope? No. What they're doing instead is, of course, they are finding fault. They haven't quite got the nerve to confront Jesus directly. But Jesus has already violated many of their cherished laws. And instead of trying to find fault with Jesus, instead they point the finger of blame this time towards his disciples. And what they're criticizing this time isn't, in fact, a huge failing. It's nothing particularly moral or spiritual. But these disciples have left out a particularly pious custom. And they notice these Pharisees, some of the disciples of Jesus, eating with unwashed hands. And they're scandalized. And the hand washing in question isn't a hygienic thing. Instead, it's a practice that was meant to wash away ritual defilement. Defilement that might be caused by touching something or somebody who was deemed to be unclean. The law given by Moses gave hand washing to be only for the priests attending to their duties within the area set aside as sacred in the temple. But the Pharisees take this practice of hand washing to further extremes. They extend the practice. In fact, this time, hand washing becomes something of a boundary marker. It's a way of distinguishing themselves from the surrounding pagan population, making themselves stand out. So the scribes and the Pharisees, this time they gather around Jesus, and this time they ask him why it's his disciples that fail to keep the tradition of the elders. They are what it might be called full cups that need to be emptied. They're filled with their own speculations, their own opinions. They've labeled Jesus and his disciples as being ritually bad people, and their energy is absorbed by their condemnation of these disciples. In fact, they've got no energy left for anything else at all, anything more important. Their cups are full, and anything more poured in at that moment would only be wasted. They see only what's in front of them. And Jesus recognizes the Pharisees and the scribes not just as being a nuisance, but instead he sees them as being examples of a spiritual danger that can threaten any of us. So Jesus calls together all the people around him. He calls the massive crowd together so that they can hear for themselves the warning that he's about to give them. In effect, what Jesus is saying to the crowd is, look out. Purity isn't about keeping the external rules, like washing your hand, but instead, you need to have a regard for what's inside you. Righteousness isn't simply how you behave when people are watching you. Instead, righteousness is about what you do when people are not watching you. So we have an inner and an outer aspect to our beings. So keeping the rules is not what it's all about. Instead, pay attention to what's going on in your heart. And what Jesus means, of course, by the heart is not simply the muscle that's beating away in our chests, pumping the blood around our body. Instead, Jesus is appealing to our emotions. He understands the heart in the Hebrew sense as being the center of the person, the inner self, the heart being the very essence of what we are. And Jesus, in his warning, is pointing to the heart as being where the problem lies. Our hearts, like our cups, can be full. And what fills them all too often is the poison that kills our own spirits and the spirits of the people that we influence as well. And Jesus goes on to produce a long list of these poisons. He names all the evil intentions. And our hearts at times can overflow with these intentions. But what our hearts hold are not simply our own opinions and our prejudices, but our hearts can also hold poisons that can be lethal for ourselves and for other people as well. So this gospel reading isn't meant to leave us helpless, but instead the gospel today challenges us to see a problem, the challenge that lies before us as people of faith. All the time we are bombarded with messages about how having more and more things in our life is going to solve all our problems. We consume, consume, and consume. But consumption is not going to solve the inner problem of the heart, the problem that Jesus is exposing today. What we need is not simply to pour more and more stuff into our overflowing cups. Instead, we actually need to empty our cups, detox ourselves, if you like, get rid of the poisons that can flood out of the heart. So the problem isn't external, it's not outside ourselves, nor is it the solution. What we need instead, deep within ourselves, is for God to create a new heart within us. And that needs to happen not just once, but continually. Over and over again, our cups at times need to be emptied. The poison purged from our hearts and our lives so that the transforming grace of Jesus can find a place within us instead. By emptying our hearts of those opinions and those prejudices, we can be set free from our speculations. We can almost start again like children, wondering at the miracles around us, but also wondering at the miracles that take place within our hearts as well. Being a Christian offers many ways in which our hearts and our lives can be poured out. When they're poured out, they're then empty vessels, vessels that can be filled with the transforming grace of Jesus. But our hearts must be used wisely if we are to have cups that are empty and not overflowing. We need hearts that are empty, ready to receive love, instead of hearts that pour out toxins, poisons, and speculations. So what we're hearing today from the Pharisees and the scribes concerns a physical human tradition. And if you get deep down to the bottom of it, it's actually this ritual hand-washing of very little importance in the vast complex of faith and life. Their complaint, if you like, is quite unexciting. It hardly suggests the nature of the exodus, the exile of the Jews. Instead, they're profoundly fixed on small little rituals, and they choose instead to ignore the calling of Jesus on their hearts. And what they say to Jesus is a long way, far removed from the loving kindness and the mercy that Jesus in God is prepared to show to his people. So let's pray that we are going to have hearts that are empty, but ready to be filled with overflowing love. Let's set aside the things that we often prioritize that seem to take center stage in our lives. If we're going to do that, then we have to repeatedly challenge ourselves to empty our hearts. We need to return again and again to the core of our discipleship. That's what the Great Commission of Jesus is what has been given to us. That we make disciples, we baptize, teach, and we recognize the presence of Jesus amongst us. And we do well to measure our lives as people, but also as a community, by nothing less than the standard that God gives us. That we have to love God with everything that we have, everything that we are. And also love our neighbors, love our community, every member of our community, as much as we love ourselves, so that our discipleship is characterized by wonder, love, and praise. So we can set ourselves free from a host of poisons if we're prepared to empty our hearts in order for them to be filled with the grace of God. When our cups are emptied, all our opinions, our speculations, our prejudices are taken away, and instead we can be filled with the gift of the life in Jesus, that gift which surpasses anything we could ask for or anything we could possibly imagine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.